There you go.
Yeah. What?
No. Do you know how I know you were distracted?
How?
You cut me off.
I'm sorry. I was having a conversation.
I know what
I was doing. What do you want to say? What do you want to say that I didn't let you say?
I just said WTNW.com, and I was about to say my name, and then you cut me off.
Well, okay. I'll tell you
what if my mama was listening?
Yeah. Next
mama.
Time. Thank you, God. I didn't get fired, mama. It's me.
He
cut my boy off. I'm going to call him right now.
Next time you're on the big microphone, mm-hmm. Why did you just say your name?
As if I care, right?
Yeah, I know. That's it. Yeah. It's not going to change. It's going to be the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So go ahead. Tell them you're Chase Murphy.
I'm Chase Murphy.
Thanks.
WTAW.
That's us. Matter of fact, Alan Brugman's here this morning from the city of Bryan. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
And you brought a guest to play Jethro Trivia with us. Is that correct?
That's the sole purpose for Gary Miller being here.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
He said, as soon as he was named as the interim head of BTU, which was like less than a month ago, he
right.
said, man, I may get to play Jethro Trivia.
And I tickled him with the excitement of
Did
coming
you?
On this morning. Yeah.
It's one of the perks.
Do you know what Jethro Trivia is?
I don't, but nope. I'm looking forward to playing.
It'll be fun. It really will. Okay, so anyway, we do. We welcome Gary in to, we're going to talk power here in just a minute. Jethro Trivia is our oddly informative little news quiz that asks a simple question about pop culture. It's easy to win and fun to play. Today we're talking, and it's a multiple choice question. So what we'll do is we'll ask a question, and Chase will get to answer first, then Tom, then Alan.
No. Chase answered first last time.
Oh.
Okay.
All
right.
You didn't think I'd catch him on that.
So Tom gets to answer first.
Thank you.
Then Chase, then Alan, and then you. And you can take the same answer that any of them do. There are no prizes involved for you.
Okay. And no betting.
And no betting. No wagering. A Swedish woman, today it's the horrors of air travel. That's our question. Yeah. A Swedish woman was reimbursed for half of the cost of her flight after having to endure what? A, a loss in her luggage. B, standing the entire time due to a booking error. C, sitting across from a corpse. Or D, suffering hearing loss due to a nonstop crying baby. Again, A, loss of her luggage. B, standing the entire time because of a booking error. C, sitting across from a corpse. Or D, suffering a hearing loss because of a nonstop crying baby. Tom. Hmm.
Not going to be B because that's against FAA regulations. But
it's
of course,
Sweden.
That's an American
it's
one.
Sweden.
Yeah, that's true. But it's probably against Swedish regulations.
Okay,
too.
Right.
I'm going to say a D, the hearing loss.
Hearing loss, uh-huh. D, hearing loss. Okay, Chase.
You know, I was thinking that too about standing, and then I was going to go with D, but just to be contrarian, I will go
you?
B, that she had to stand the entire uh-huh. time.
Okay, there you go. Alan?
You know, my first instinct probably too was the hearing loss because
yeah.
the other ones seem a little weird.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say the corpse.
Oh, all right. There
let's
we go.
Say, let's say there was a body bag or something
sure.
flying.
I like that Alan only characterized that as a little weird. If I'm across from a corpse, that's pretty freaking weird as far as I'm concerned.
You got to transport dead bodies somehow, right?
Right. Okay, Gary?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Alan. I'm going to go with the corpse.
The guys from the city of Bryan are winners today.
All right.
Get out of here.
Yep. Lena Pettersson, a reporter for Radio Sweden, was reimbursed half of her $1,400 airfare after sitting across from a corpse for much of the 10-hour flight to Kenya.
Did somebody pass on mid-flight?
Yes. The guy died a few hours into the overnight flight, and they couldn't stop anyplace. The flight was full. Oh, what, they're going to put him in the overhead bin? Anyway.
Oh, was he like Bernie?
I'm not sure.
Propped him up.
I don't know. I'm just telling you. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Got that done. All right.
My only question is, I mean, did he just not pass away quietly? How do you know? I mean,
you want me to get your Lena's right. number and you can call her?
I'm good.
Her
about I'm good. It. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
If we get more details, we'll be sure and let you know. Okay. All right. Anyhow, as aforementioned, Gary Miller's here this morning. He's the interim head of BTU. There is a fear over what could happen if the state runs out of electricity and has to use the old rolling blackouts to keep the statewide electrical grid from collapsing. So to reduce the risk of blackouts, the Public Utility Commission wants to raise the cap on the price for wholesale electricity during those peak demand times by 50% in an effort to make the market more profitable. In turn, the commission hopes that lures more investment to Texas to build more power plants, but the PUC's own consultants in a report that was released earlier this month cautioned that the state could go overboard in trying to reduce that risk. And how much money are we talking about? One industry group called the Texas Industrial Energy Consumers told the PUC in a filing, we could be talking about between $4.5 billion and $14 billion added to the annual cost of electricity. You know, some of that would probably go into the consumer's checkbook and take a little money out of them. So they're going to vote this morning. And while we have two different cities, they handle utilities differently. And BTU is different than College Station Utilities. Tomorrow, Tim Crabb will join us from College Station Utilities. But today, Gary Miller's with us. Gary, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
Let's talk here for a minute about this, because we're looking at $3,000 currently as the cap. And then they're going to raise that to $4,500. Now, this is wholesale, but how does that fit within the world of the everyday consumer of electricity?
Well, when we buy and sell on the market every day, and what we pay for electricity or get paid for electricity goes right into what we charge our customers for in the fuel rate. So it's a direct hit or benefit to our customers, whatever the market is in ERCOT every day.
Okay. Now, again, unlike other places, BTU is a power generator. You guys and gals make power. So is it more a case that if that spike is hit at $4,500, this, in fact, could be a windfall for BTU? And does it protect the BTU customer from having to pay that, be hit by that $4,500 cap?
Well, if we're doing our job right, it will be a benefit to BTU's customers. We do have excess generation, or not a lot, but we do have excess generation above our customers' requirements. So when those high price times hit, we should have all that generation online and be selling into that high price market.
So now that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to immediately see a discount in our utility rate, though, would we?
It does not. It flows into our fuel rate, which we change on occasion. We look at every year to determine whether we have over or under collected fuel and either charge our customers extra if we've under collected or pay back in the fuel rate if we've over-collected.
Gary Miller is our guest. He's the interim head of BTU. As we talk about today, the Utility Commission looking to raise the cap on wholesale prices. Obviously, because we're in this grid, we're kind of all in this thing together, most of the state of Texas, oddly enough, it was cold weather that caused a problem back in February where some people lost power rather than hot weather, which is what you would think. But what is the concern, and what are the chances that BTU customers might have to suffer a rolling blackout because of something that happens far away from here in Texas?
Well, there's always that possibility, and in the Texas grid, we're all in it together. And so, if rolling blackouts occur on a grid-wide basis, then BTU's customers will have to participate. We're mandated to participate by the rules in the grid. But it is possible for local problems to cause the same rolling blackout conditions, just not on a statewide basis.
Sure, and we've had those before. I mean, there's no doubt that just happens. Power goes out sometimes. Now, and let's talk about that for a minute. Let's kind of dig into this, because the Brattle Group came out with this report. That's the one that the PUC looked at. And, I mean, is there an acceptable amount of time that power can be down within a year that before people start to feel uncomfortable about not being able to flip the switch and have the lights come on?
Well, you know, that's a hard question. I mean, that's individual customers that have different opinions on what's acceptable. It's difficult in this market for generation to get built. And so we're at a point in time where we're right on the cusp of having enough capacity to serve the load. And we had a strong build of generation in the early 2000s, and we've enjoyed that excess capacity up until now. So we're at that point, and it's time to start building additional generation. And this is the PUC's attempt to fix that problem.
Of course, as recently as yesterday, the EPA is talking about problems within Texas. 14 states filed suit, and they lost yesterday. And the idea is that this has to be a paying proposition for somebody to come in and build a power plant. We're at record low prices for natural gas right now. What is the environment, in your opinion, what is the environment for them building more power generation in Texas in the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, you know, obviously coal's not going to get built. It's going to, you know, generally it's going to be gas that's going to get built, or wind is continuing to be built, and some solar. But the environment for gas plants to be built is not, you know, with the low gas prices, it's just difficult to earn a rate of return. So the environment is really not conducive still to building gas plants, unless this price cap increase does help that problem and helps, you know, investors see that they can get a return on their investment.
Now, kind of explain to us from a technical standpoint, without getting too far out in the weeds, obviously you'd like to create as much energy as you could, but storing it is a very difficult thing to do. You can't. You've got to get it out on the market. Is there anything that we see in the future that makes this a situation where you really will be able to store the energy and sell it at a later date?
Well, not on a large enough scale to make a difference, really. I mean, there is battery technology out there right now that the largest one that I've heard of is like storage of 5 megawatts, and that's a very, even for BTU's customers, that's a very small percentage of our load. So that technology is, you know, still being looked at, but and is out there, but it's really not available on a large enough magnitude to make a difference.
Now, since in the world of power generation, BTU is a small player, but still, is there any plan that you might look at increasing your generation during this time?
We look at that every year, and right now, like I said earlier, we do have excess. We're probably good for the next few years. So, my best guess at this point is it'll be 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years before we start looking at building something else.
Now, talk to me about the biomedical corridor. What is the I don't know right off the top of my head in the ILA agreement between the cities. Who is going to provide the power in the biomedical corridor?
Yeah, I think it will be a combination. We will, BTU will have some of the buildings and the load growth there will be BTU customers, and some will be College Station. It really will be a combination of both.
Because we don't know what's going in there necessarily.
Correct.
And
exactly right.
There, you could have somebody who's going to really need to be using a lot of power, and I guess that could change the world a little bit.
Absolutely. So, you know, load growth in our area has really never stopped, even with the situation as it has been over the last few years. And this biomedical corridor could even, you know, push load growth up there. So, you know, that's a good point, and that could cause us to need additional capacity sooner than we're thinking. But again, we look at that every year. We do our planning to make sure that we're going to have enough.
Sure. This dereg thing, this is something that people in other cities talk about, and we don't talk about it here in neither city. Why is it that neither city has an opportunity, their customers have an opportunity to choose their power provider?
Well, you know, that's kind of a difficult question also, but really, you know, back in the late 90s when dereg was being looked at, the legislatures looked at municipals and co-ops and said, you know, you guys built infrastructure to serve your captive customers, and you did a good job, and your rates are low. We're going to allow you to continue to do that. And I think as long as municipals do continue to keep their rates low and serve their customers at rates as good or better than what the retail electric providers are doing out there, that we should be able to continue to keep our customers. You know, that's really what it is that we have historically done a good job, and we had put the investment into the infrastructure needed to serve our customers.
Sure. Anything we didn't cover? Anything else that's important we need to leave with people?
Well, you know, nothing that I'm aware of at the moment.
Just turn your thermostat up a few degrees if you possibly can, and maybe we won't have the blackouts. And again, well, we've already reached our record capacity in June. Right?
Well, for June we have. Yeah. We beat it. I think ERCOT beat it by a couple of hundred megawatts, and it was real surprising, but it looks like we're over it for now, and BTU came out of it really well.
Sure, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank
morning.
You. I appreciate it.
Yep, that's Gary Miller. He's the interim head of BTU. What else we got going on in the city?
All right, I wanted to make sure everybody had heard about the Texas Reds entertainment announcement. Mayor Bianski made it Tuesday evening at the end of the council meeting. This Saturday evening, I should say, this is October 12th and 13th this year. Can you imagine if we were having it in June?
No, I don't want to.
That'd be
horrible. Think about that, yeah.
October 12th and 13th, so it'll be cooler. Roger Craiger will be the headliner Saturday night. Johnny Lee and the Urban Cowboy Band will open up for him. Friday night headliner, the Texas Tornadoes. That's Freddie Fender's old
Freddie
band.
Yeah, Freddie Fender's old band. Yeah.
We'll also have the Texas Twisters, fittingly. Twisters and the Tornadoes will be playing. And then there's a whole other slew of bands that are playing both Saturday and Friday. All that information is at TexasRedsFestival.com. And this started right here in this room, I believe, the challenge between the mayors.
Yes, it did. It started right here.
Mayor Byinsky is making good on the bet that they made. He and Mayor Barry, Brian Vikings, of course, got swept by the Consolidated Tigers in that baseball series, the playoffs. And so he now owes the College Station Council some hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And hot dogs, et cetera, hot dogs and wings, et cetera, right there. And Brian has generously provided the hot dogs, and he'll be delivering them this afternoon there to the College Station City Council workshop. So if you want to see Mayor Byinsky with some hot dogs and, you know, him serving the College Station
Council.
And I think
he'll be wearing a Consolidated jersey to a council meeting.
That's happening on the 10th. The next Bryan City Council meeting on July 10th, he's supposed to be wearing a Consolidated shirt. So
the whole meeting, or do we know?
Yeah, I don't know what that plan is going to be. He may make an appearance and then pull it off. I'm not real sure.
Knowing him,
he'll be a good sport and keep it on the whole meeting.
I got you. All right.
That's the payoff. That's happening this afternoon.
All right, very good. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Visit with the folks from the City of Bryan on Thursdays on News Talk 1620.